It is. It's a unique day, and you know, this month our church turns 148 years old. 148. You may think only of the Fayetteville campus at times. You think, well, we're about 7 years old, right? But really, the history of the church goes way beyond that. And so this February, we turn 148 years old. And so it's something we do every single February, usually the second Sunday of February, closest to Valentine's Day. We do this thing called I Love My Church Day. And I don't think I'm exaggerating today that I could say in the last 7 years, there is no more important I Love My Church Day than what we've seen today and what we're about to experience together today. Because we're going to talk about our future today. And the cool thing is we can actually look at it like in its insight, like very much so in view. And 2 weeks from today, we will not be meeting in here. We will be meeting about a mile down the road in our brand new facility. And so it's very, very exciting. Yeah, come on, let's celebrate that. Oh. Big, big time stuff. And we're very, very excited about all that. If you got a Bible today, I want you to grab it and turn to Psalm chapter 115. Psalm 115, if you just grab your Bible, turn to the middle. You usually end up in Psalms. That's an easy way to find the book of Psalms. And today, I'm just calling this a perspective day, okay? It's a perspective day. As we are 2 weeks away from opening our building, let's make sure we've got a proper perspective. Let's make sure we are where we need to be. If this is your very first time to Cross Church, welcome. We're really excited to have you. You've come on an interesting day. In fact, the next few weeks are just going to be unique. And so it's a fantastic time to jump in to the life of this church. But just a heads up, this is a little bit of a different deal just because of where we are as a church. And as we look at Psalm 115 today, I want to give you what I'm just going to call two foundational statements. Two foundational statements. And really what these statements are, really an application of Psalm 115 for our church. So basically where we're at as a church, what does Psalm 115 verse 1 mean for us, and how do we apply that together, not just as individuals, but as a group, because we are a group. We is greater than me in a church setting. And so we're going to talk a lot about that today and a lot about the next 2 weeks as we move towards opening our building. And so just a heads up, as we read the scriptures, we are preaching today. I am preaching today with 2 weeks ahead of us in mind. But I want us to look at the scriptures. Look at Psalm 115:1. The Bible says this, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." Can we all just read that together? Let's read it on the screen. Sometimes we have different translations out here. Let's just read this together. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." Today, as I said, I want to give you two foundational statements that I think take this and really place this upon our church and say, okay, so what does this mean for us knowing the season that we're in? And I'll give you the first one right now if you're a note taker. When we think about 2 weeks from today, we think about this brand new building we're about to move into. Here's what this means. This building is not for our glory, but for the glory of Jesus in this community. Okay, when we think about Cross Church in general, Psalm 115:1, the season we're in, heading 2 weeks from today into that building, we need to recognize this. This building that we have built and that we are building still is not for our glory, but for the glory of Jesus in this community. Now, I'm not a fortune teller, okay? I do not have superpowers or secret powers that you do not know about. But let me just give you my best guess about what's going to happen in 2 weeks, okay? We're going to show up, and there's going to be a ton of people, okay? I'm going to guess we're going to see between 3,000 and 4,000 people show up on that Sunday. You may say, you're crazy. I don't think it's going to happen. I may bet you, okay, like lunch at Chewy's or something. I really think that we're about to see a real strong work on that opening day because there's been so many people that have been waiting for this in our own church and beyond. And so here's what we're going to see, okay? Here's the fortune telling. Is that basically people are going to begin to talk about how great our church is. Man, Cross Church, that new building, golly, that new building, wow, those ministries, golly, they do such a good job. Those worship services, wow, they are really, really great. And do we want all that to be true? I mean, yeah, we hope our building is nice and excellent to the glory of God. We hope our ministries do great work in the community. We hope our worship services are a great display of the glory of God and the picture of Jesus. But I think we just need to have a perspective check today that when we get those praises from people, that we not just talk about the greatness of our church, but we say, you know what, we got a great church. Man, let me tell you about our Jesus, because that's really the secret of this whole thing, is that Jesus is the reason why we are the way that we are. My dad often teaches pastors, and when he talks to pastors, he has a statement where he says this. He said, when pride walks on the platform, God walks off. It's a pretty good word for pastors, right? You think about this in a church setting, and can I modify this for me and for you as pastors and as members and attenders of our church? When pride walks into the church, God walks out. And may this never be said of us. May this never be said that, golly, that crush church, yeah, they got some good things going on, but there's a bunch of arrogant people. May that never be said of us. May we deflect the glory from ourselves and really push it onto the Lord Jesus as we go through this whole process. You know, you think about this aspect of pride. If there's one thing that's clear throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's this, that God is repelled by pride and he is attracted to humility. I think about that in every setting of your life. Okay, think about that in your family. God is repelled by pride. He's attracted to humility. Think about that in your own life. God is repelled by your pride. He is attracted to your humility. And so I don't know about you, but I need the movement of God in my life. Anybody else? Like, I want the movement of God in my life. And I think the Bible is very, very clear. If I walk in pride as a follower of Jesus, that is repulsive to God, and he will not move in my life in the way that I would like him to. And yet if I come to him with much humility, man, that's the kind of thing that makes God move on our behalf. And so let's let that be said of our church here. I've taught you this some time ago, but I think it's appropriate today with our passage. But ask yourself this, am I a glory acceptor or a glory deflector? Am I a glory acceptor or a glory deflector? This could be in all realms of life. This could be in your job. This could be in your church. This could be in your family. It could be as your parents. You know, man, golly, you guys have raised such great kids. Well, I know I'm pretty much a baller as a parent, you know. Or is it the Lord has really blessed us. We've done a lot of things wrong, but God has really helped us. He saved us in some ways. You see, like, that's a real easy example of what we're talking about. Am I a glory acceptor or am I a glory deflector? We've talked a lot about the glory of God. For whatever reason, God has just brought his glory to the forefront in our church over the last month or so. And we try to define the glory of God, and it's really a hard task to define what is the glory of God. But as we learn, we can see glimpses of it and more point to it. I mean, I don't know how to fully get my arms around it, but I know that's the glory of God. I see that picture is the glory of God. That sunset's the glory of God. That movement has got to be the glory of God there. And so we point to this. And as we talked to you about 3 weeks ago, I said this, to live a life for the glory of God means that I am consistently living in a way to see the things that only God can do. To live a life for the glory of God means that I am consistently living in a way to see things that only God can do. Can I just pause here and speak to the church, okay? Like, let's forget being an individual right now. Let's think about ourselves as a congregation. Do we want to see the glory of God on February 25th or not? Like, we want to see the glory of God, right? Do we want to see things that only God can do? I think we do, right? Do we want to see 5,000 people show up on the first day who will get to hear the gospel and have an opportunity to respond to that? That's something only God could do, right? Do we want to see 1,000 people come to faith in Christ our first year in that building? I mean, that'd be a God deal, right? Like, here's my hope, okay? That when people drive by, let's say we're 6 months into that building, people drive by and the community has noticed so much the movement of God where they drive by and they're like, that don't make sense. That must be a God deal. Like, wouldn't that joy your heart? Like there's no human explanation. No human could do that. No pastors could do that. No church could do that. No members could do that. That can only be defined as a movement of the glory of God here. That's a pretty easy statement to get around, right? That this building is not for our glory, but for the glory of God. That's an easy one for every follower of Christ in this room to get around. And you're like, man, let's charge hell with that, right? The second one I think is a lot harder because this is where it's one of those that just rubs. Ever have those things in the Bible that just rubs against your flesh? You're like, man, I don't know. That hurts a little. It stings a little. Here's the second statement. This building is not for us, but for them. This building is not for us, but for them. You say, well, hold on. What are you talking about, Willis? Like, Like, we have given money towards that building. Like, Meredith and I, our family, have sacrificed for that building, giving financially. Your family has given financially and has just stretched you. And you're like, man, what you telling me? That building's not for me. That building is for me. It's not for us. It's for them. So who is the them? Let me try to define that. The them could be the, who knows how many lost people. Phil alluded to it earlier. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of lost people who don't know our Jesus. The building's for them. The building is for numerous Christians who are wandering out here in our community without a church home and really need a church solid place for them to come hear the Bible and go forward in their walk. It's for them. It's for our kids. It's for our grandkids. And this could be the biggest one. That building over there is for people that we will never even meet. Think about that. Like, hopefully this church outlives every single one of us, where that building, as old and rackety as it may be by that time, is still standing as a pillar of the Word of God and of the gospel of Jesus in this community. Like, we're not building for us. We've built for them. And any benefit we get outside of the mission being fulfilled is just like an extra add-on. Like, okay, well, I guess it did help me in this way, but that really wasn't the purpose here. Let me remind us of this statement, okay? The mission is not about us. The mission is not about us. When we began this church, we had a core team of about 287 people, I think is what it was, 283, 287, something like that. And for those of you who were in that meeting room that we met in as we prepared to launch this church, we had a statement here that has really guided us at various times in this church. And, man, we're going to keep the mission high. We're going to keep the mission high. Meaning, we don't fight about stupid stuff here. We don't get distracted with things that aren't about the mission. Man, we are laser focused on the mission of reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. Like, that's the mission, okay? So the mission, in fact, has never been about us. It's always about reaching more people and more people and more people with the gospel of Jesus. And that's pretty clear. You know, the mission is not a few things, okay? Let me define what the mission is not, okay? The mission is not finally a church that makes things easier for me, right? Finally, I don't have to get there as early. Finally, I don't have to park across the state line, right? Like, are all those benefits? Yeah, and have we joked about it? Yeah, like it's going to be nice that we have a new parking situation. It'll be nice that, you know, we'll hopefully not have as many people having to sit in the lobby. But here's my desire. I hope we have overflow. Like, I hope our parking lots are full and we're having to figure out some other way to shuttle people from some far-off parking lot, because guess what? That means the Spirit of God is moving. And do we want to be in church as normal, or do we want to see the glory of God on display? Like, we want to see God do an incredible, incredible work, right? And so we just got to keep forward. It's interesting, as I thought this week, in those early days, literally we'd be in this room and we'd be packed to capacity and there were no more room, no more seats left, and we'd have a group of people standing there at the door ready to walk in. And I would literally point to our core team and I'd just say, hey, core team, we need you to stand up and give up your seat. And literally people would stand up and walk out of the room. How crazy is that? But that's just the way it was and the way that we need it to be again, that, man, you need my seat? I don't know if you are a Christian or not. I don't know if you ever heard the gospel or not. Of course I'll give you my seat. I'll watch in the lobby. It's a pretty amazing thing, right? Reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus. And when you think about these two mindsets here, that the building is not for us, but it's for them, and this building is not for our glory, but for the glory of Jesus in this community, that's driven by what I believe is the end of this passage here. So go back to Psalm 115. Look at the second half of verse 1. It says, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Some of your translations will translate it this way, because of your love and your faithfulness. What is that? That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the reason why I had this mindset, man, not to me, but to your name be the glory, because I've been changed by your love and your faithfulness. The love of God being this, that we just sang about it a few minutes ago. that God loved us in such a way that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. And then as we sang about, God miraculously raised him from the dead, whereby any of us, no matter what we've done, no matter who we are, no matter what the background we've come from, no matter what if we're a man or a woman, no matter if what race we are, everybody and anybody can put their faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. Like that is the meaning here, and that is what this could point to. Of and because of that love, and because of that faithfulness that we've experienced, I just have this mindset. Not to me, but to your name be the glory. See, it's a perspective shift personally here, okay? We're talking about this kind of on a big scale of a church scale today, but this dwindles all the way down to the individual. And here's what happens. If you are someone in the room who you've been changed about the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus has saved you, transformed you, changed you. Then here's the perspective shift that takes place in your life. It is never about me, and it is always about God and about others. It's never about me, but it's always about God and about others. That's why some people, when they come to faith in Christ, you've probably seen this in your life, prior to meeting Jesus, they were the most selfish person that you can imagine. And then after the Lord saves them and the Lord works in their life, they become selfless. You know, man, how could that happen? Well, because of God's love and his faithfulness. And it shifts to say, man, it's never about me, but always about God and always about others. May this carry us. When we think about the second half of that verse, because of God's love and faithfulness, here's the perspective we walk in as a congregation. As a group, we walk in and say, man, it's never about me. It's always about God, always about others. You remember when Jesus was approached by the Pharisees and they said, well, Jesus, what is the greatest command in the law? And Jesus said two things. Remember what it was? He said, number one, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, a second is like it. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, Jesus says, listen, the law of God leads to a perspective shift to where it's never about me, but it's always about God and always about others here. And that's a major, major thing. That's a massive shift that just points to the glory of God. Only God can do that in the life of a person. Only God can do that in your heart. You realize that? It's not mere morality. It's not, well, I'm just going to try to improve some. Only God can make that kind of perspective shift at salvation. And man, what a powerful God we serve. As we think about Psalm 115 and as we think about how this plays out in the life of our church, I want to just kind of shift right here at this section of the service. And I want us to just have some church talk, okay? Is that all right? Like just a little family business time. And if you're new, man, just welcome. You are welcome into the family meeting. You can watch all of our warts and dysfunctions as we discuss, okay? But I want us almost to go into just a preparation mode. Of here we are 2 weeks from today. What do we need to be aware of as we look at this season in our church, okay? And so I thought we'd start out with something fun, okay? Everybody like to have fun? Would anybody like to see some updated pictures of the inside of the building? There you go. Come on with it, baby. Okay. So let's talk about the outside first of all. This is obviously, you can drive through the parking lot now. You don't need to feel like you can't. You can drive through there. And there's all this stuff here. You see two front entrances. That is the west entrance. Excuse me. That is the east entrance, which is where the children's and preschool mainly is. And so I'll explain that here in a moment. Let's go inside the lobby. So you'll see here that is almost complete. They are laying carpet even this weekend in there. And so I was in there last night, and it's just going to roll, all right? It's going to be very, very good. So this will even transform by tomorrow, okay? It's going to look really, really good. Let's go down to the preschool area. You'll see the kids, yeah? You'll see the kids check-in area up at the top. The hallway has got kind of rooms on either side of great-sized classrooms. Then this little bottom clubhouse look, that is where our preschoolers will leave their room that they're in, and they'll walk to this room. It's all secured in there, by the way, in that hallway. They'll walk to their story time and Bible time and song time together. And I know it looks like grass, but it's really just green carpet, okay? It's this new technology called carpet. And so that's a cool deal. Then we go upstairs. You go to the children's area. You kind of see the top left is the entrance. That'll be a secure entrance as well. We really took safety into account, and all the parents said, amen. You know, that's good. And then you'll see a lobby. It's interesting. Like, we've never had just simple space like a little lobby for families to gather in for just 5 minutes and be able to have a conversation. And so it's just a cool deal. You'll see the lobby at the bottom. Then the top, obviously they were still working there, but there's some stuff. This is the student area. So right out there, there'll be a little lobby where they can hang outside of the children's area. And so we put that wall there intentionally to keep the teenagers away from the elementary students. And then we have this student room right here that will also double as adult education space, Sunday school space. So we're very excited about that. You go to the next thing, is the blueprint here. Now you may say, Nick, you forgot one room. You forgot to show us the worship center. I'm not going to show you the worship center, all right? I want to keep the suspense just building, okay? But just trust me, like, it looks unbelievable. Phil, does it not look unbelievable? It looks unbelievable. And so you're going to walk in and just, you're going to say, this is unbelievable, okay? And but this is the blueprint here. So if you think about Weddington, Weddington would be at the top here. And so think about everything shifted a little bit. But on the far left is office space, and we'll have a small group room out there. Then you have the big lobby and the worship center. We will seat anywhere between 900 and 1,000 people. We're not exactly sure. All the fixed seating is in and installed already. Our movable chairs, just kind of like these, will come in Tuesday. So if you want to unload chairs, you can come on with it. And then as you move towards what would be the east side, like I said, that'll be a children's, the preschool area downstairs. We've got a lot of various rooms for them, and we're very excited. That top little rectangle there, in between those two blue marks, is the indoor playground. My kids are tearing it up already, okay? Like, they're dominating it. These are your five entrances here. Just a heads up, most of your parking is going to be to the sides and in the back. And so you will probably not enter through the front entrance of the church very much, to be honest. And I don't know how many people will. That'll probably be first-time guest parking and handicap parking right up front. But if you have kids, you'll want to go on the east side, which is where that is right there. That's where the preschool is. Upstairs is the children's area and student area, so that is just the first floor right there. So if you're a parent and would like easy access, you'll probably want to park somewhere along that stretch, okay? Let's go, Damon, I think, to the next thing. This will show a little bit better. Approximately 600 parking spots. Can I get an amen? Amen. There we go. That's good. And so as you'll see, it really is mostly along the sides and along the back. We added a back hallway to the area because of that, after some stuff we had to change. And so it's really, really going to be special. We have grass on there. We have, like, sod. We have mulch. We have trees. They're just baby trees. And so a lot of fun things here. Let me give you a word on parking and on exit and entrance. Obviously, I'd say give us grace. We're going to figure this out as we move on. But how many of you go west to go home? How many of you go west? Okay, so a lot of you. If you go west, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to go to the access road, which would be to the far left. If you're just looking at the screen here, the far left, and you'll go to the light, and we'll get you west. How many of you go east? What? Well, east side? Yeah. Okay. If you go east, basically all you'll do is you'll be able to turn right out and go down Weddington towards east. How many of you go north on 49? Okay. Yeah, we've got Elm Springs people, Springdale people, all that kind of stuff. Here's what we're going to ask you to do. Okay, this is probably the most important. We're going to ask you not to go to the access road and try to just wait through the light and go, because it'll pile up. We're going to ask you also to turn right. And if you know the area, if you know Weddington, you can turn left on Porter, just a little bit of the way down the road, and Porter will take you right to the interstate. It'll honestly be much faster for you, and that'll be a lot easier. Okay, so we'll talk about that. Just work with us. We're going to be figuring this out as we get a lot of people in there at the same time. You may be wondering the question, well, Nick, what can we do to help the next 2 weeks? And I appreciate that thought, and thanks for asking on this Sunday morning session together. But there are three things that we're going to ask you to do, okay? Three things we're going to ask you to do, and this is at varying levels and various involvement, and I just want to talk through various things. Number one is prayer, okay? And you may say, okay, well, you know that. Go to the next one. Now, I'm like, let's park for a second. I'm being completely serious. Like, we need prayer towards the finishing of the building. Our pastors need it. Our pastors already feel it. just the spiritual battle we're in. Our families feel it. And anytime, just like a little heads up, anytime that there's a big day at church, here's what you can bank on. Your pastors and their families are going to catch hell, literally. And so be praying for our protection throughout this whole thing. Phil had a great idea. I threw it out. I think it's something we're going to do here. So we're launching February 25th, right, 2:25. And so what we want to do over the next 2 weeks is at 2:25 p.m. every day, we're going to ask you just to stop and pray. Hey, Lord, would you, you know, we're all about to move in. God, would you do a great work? Would you save people? Would you bring people who need to be there? Just anything that God brings to mind in that moment. So 2:25 p.m. And college students, if you're awake at 2:25 a.m., we'll ask you to pray, okay? But I figure we just go with the majority here at 2:25 p.m. But we want to have an intentional focus of prayer here. The next thing is what we're just calling canvassing and prayer walking. Canvassing/prayer walking. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of door hangers that we're going to pass out. And what we want you to do is to take these individually or take them with your family or even gather your small group. And there's a giant map on the wall that you probably saw in the lobby when you came in today. What you can do is simply walk up to those staff people who were there and just say, hey, I'm interested in door hanging and I live in this part of the city. And they will give you whatever you need. They'll give you a map. They'll give you the door hangers. And we're not asking you to go knock on the door. We're not asking you to even share the gospel. All we're asking you to do is to walk up. And as you're walking up to that house, don't just hang the door hanger, okay? We want you to say, Lord, as I walk up to this house, Lord, would our church be here for this family or this single person, whatever it may be? And if they don't know Jesus, would you allow our church to be the church that shares Jesus with them? And just up and down a driveway and up and down a driveway. And we need the prayer more than we need the door hangers, right? We believe that. And so let's make this a prayer walking movement together. Also on your way out today, we're going to hand you some of these invite cards. It gives you the basic information. Remember, we are shifting times to 8:15, 10, and 11:30. But these are very easy things to walk around your neighborhood with or to give to somebody in the drive-through or to take them to your office, whatever it may be. But invite. Let's do our part, okay? We're going to give thousands of opportunities for people to hear about our grand opening. So we're going to do our human effort, and then we're going to pray for God's effort to supersede all that and to do things that only he can do together. You may say, Nick, do door hangers really work? Or is that just a waste of time and money? I knew a guy named Ben and his wife, Jen Hangartner. So Ben and Jen. They were Meredith and I. They were our best friends at our church in Dallas. We did something very similar. We were opening up a new campus here and there in Texas, and our church had a concentrated effort of putting out door hangers. And Ben and Jen, the Hangartners, got a door hanger on their door, and they already knew Jesus, but weren't really genuinely following him in a lot of ways in their life. They came. Ben actually got baptized. Their life transformed. I'm not making any of this up, am I? Life transformed, and everything because somebody in our church, a member of our church, took it by and just dropped the door hanger on their door. So who in this city will also have the same story just because you volunteered to help there? So prayer is the first thing. Let's talk about a second thing here, and that is just the element of service, okay? Service. When I say that, I just mean, man, I've got something in the church that I am doing. I may be a greeter. I may be a small group leader. I may help rock babies. I may help with security in some way. And I'm just mentioning a few here, and we could talk here. But we have roughly 800 dream teamers, okay? These are people who in some way have a regular, consistent avenue of service in our church, which is pretty incredible. So, I applaud you today. 800 people, it's just under that, who regularly give of their time to serve this church and to serve Jesus. And so you may hear that, and maybe you're not currently involved in serving somewhere, and you may say, well, gosh, there's no place for me. I don't need any more help here. And you may not believe me. This may be hard for you to believe, but we believe that we need hundreds more people to get involved as we launch this building, hundreds more. And some of you, I can see, some of you who are serving already, you're like, yeah, absolutely. I need help, we need hundreds of more people. And so here's what I would say. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you've been almost about to dip your toe in serving in some realm of our church. Man, now's the time. Roll with us. Just jump on board, and we will place you accordingly. We'll place you where there are needs. You say, well, okay, so I'd like to just jump in and start helping. What is it that I do? let me move to this. Okay, February 18th, next Sunday evening, we're going to ask every person who serves in any capacity in our church to show up, not here, but at the new building. And so it's like inside access, okay? So you may say, I don't really care about serving, but I would like to see the new building. You come too, okay? And we will, by the time you're done, you will be serving somewhere, okay? But it's going to be a fun, fun time. Child care will begin here on this campus at 4:30. So if you got kids, we will take care of them, preschool and children, at 4:30 p.m. That's when that will begin. So you can drop off here, then drive to the new building, and you'll have a few minutes to look around. At 5 p.m. sharp, we are going to be in the worship center all together, and we're going to do some incredible things together. We'll have about an hour and a half total. We'll be in the worship center some all together, and then we will break up, and all the preschool people will go to the preschool area, all the children's to the children's, and all the greeters to the entrances, and we will basically train you on, hey, here's where you need to stand, here's what you need to do, here's why we do it this way, and it really will be a special time. And so if you are one of those people who you're saying, okay, I'm just going to come, and you just place me wherever, we will have a I don't know what to do group, okay? And you'll go to a certain section, and a few of our staff will help distribute you accordingly, and we'll get you plugged right in. But man, don't miss this. I promise you. Next Sunday night is going to be an incredible night together. It really will. It'll be one of those that you look back on and be like, man, remember that time we did that little Dream Team night the week before we launched? And so be with us next Sunday night. It's really going to be a fun, fun thing. Obviously, as you see the timing here, this means that tonight is the last night for our 5:30 service. Until it is needed again in the new building, which, let's pray that it's needed. But this will be the last Sunday today of our four services because of this. And so just a heads up there. Let's keep going. And we will feed your kids, by the way, next Sunday night. We will not feed you because you're expensive. But we will feed your kids because I know kids eat in that time frame. And we'll get out by 6:30, so that's fine for us as adults to just go and figure something out later. So let's talk about prayer service. Let's finalize on this one. Let's talk about sacrifice, okay? Sacrifice. I don't know if you've ever been down in the belly of Bud Walton Arena, like down where all the trophies are and stuff, where the Hawks play basketball. But if you walk down there, there's a specific like trophy encasement that has a really nice, I don't know how to describe it other than it's like a jar vase kind of thing. It has a lid on it. And on the plaque behind it, it says the Spirit of Barnhill. So basically what they did years ago when they were building Bud Walton and they came to the last game in Barnhill Arena, which was a much smaller arena, had a great atmosphere, and they didn't want to lose that when they moved to the big place. That sound familiar here? And so they took this jar and they opened it up in Barnhill and then they closed it up. And then they took it to Bud Walton, and I think the point was, well, we'll open it up and the Spirit will come. And it's kind of like sacrilegious, I'm sure, in some way, but... But you get the point of what they were just symbolizing here. Man, we're going to bring the Spirit of Barnhill into this new arena. In many ways, the secret sauce of this church has been the spirit of sacrifice by many of you in this room. You've just given of your time, and given of your money, and given of your life to invest in people. And you just give. And man, that has typified these last 7 years. And those of you who have been on the whole journey with us, you would probably agree with me. Man, that's been the secret. It's not about us. It's about God, and it's always about others here. No matter how much it inconveniences me, we'll do it for the mission of reaching people. And I just want to encourage us towards that again in a new, fresh way. Just a spirit of sacrifice where you say, you know what? You need me to park far away? I'll park far away. You need me to continue to avoid the 10:30 or the 10 o'clock service here? All of with the 10 o'clock service. You need me to serve? You need me to do this? You need me to do that? Yeah, I'm game. Like a spirit of sacrifice here. As we've been saying, we're not moving for convenience, okay? Like for those of us who love the church and who have been around for a while, like we could figure this out. We could do this for another decade. And we'd reach about 2,000 people a week and feel good about ourselves and we'd reach some people, but there'd always be a ceiling on our mission. We are moving because the level of inconvenience in this place, because of parking and because of seating and people having to sit out in the lobby, it's a ceiling for us. And I don't know about you, I don't want any ceiling on the mission of God in this place. Do you? But we want to have that blown off the top and just say, God, whatever it is you want to do, we're not hindered by anything. And so the biggest statement I'm going to say is this statement right here, okay? And just everybody look at me. You ready for this? This one might hurt a little bit too, okay? I'm going to ask for the greatest sacrifice that you have ever given to a church that you do that now. As we move into this next season, man, give of yourself more than you ever have before. Do not miss out on what God wants to do in you through you giving yourself. So if you've never served before, man, now's the time. If you're already serving and you know that God's calling you to lead at a new level, man, I know I've been just kind of doing this, but I know that God wants more from me. Now's the time. I'm going to ask you to give more financially than you've ever given before. That building is not paid for yet, okay? Well, we got another year and a half of this program that we're in. I'm just going to ask you to sacrifice in all these ways. And man, may it be said of us this, that the spirit of sacrifice that was so demonstrative the first 7 years of this church, it would even be more so in the next 7 years and beyond. That God would look down at us as not as individuals, but look at us as a body of believers and say, I can send people there. People who need hope, I can send them there. Marriages that needed to be restored, I can send them there. People that need to hear the gospel, I'll send them there. That's a faithful people who it's not about them, but it is about other people. Let me close by just giving you a word about next Sunday, okay? Next Sunday, I'm not exaggerating it, okay? It will be unlike any service you've ever attended before. I've never attended a service like this, okay? And David and Shane and I planned it this week, and we're just calling it a farewell party. A farewell party. This will be the last Sunday that we ever have Sunday services in this building. And so we're just calling it a farewell party. And what we're going to do is this. Before we move on to the great things that God is about to do, we're going to stop and we're going to recount what God has done over the last 7 years. And so this will not be like a typical service of three songs, then Nick, and then we're out. You know, like we're going to sing some of the great songs of our past that have really, you know, been used by God in this church. We're going to have reports of what God has done in various ministries. I'll talk some as well, obviously. And we may even have a few surprise guests via video that I'll just leave there for you. But I just want you to be a part of that. There's something special, not only about the new, but about the old. To just stop, say, God, you've been good to us. Let's just recount your love and your faithfulness for a little while. And so, man, we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm potentially trying to work in confetti, so we'll just wait and see. But it really is going to be a special day. Please make plans to attend morning services, 8:30, 10, or 11:30 next Sunday. Can we just move our hearts to prayer right now?